Welcome. Welcome to our online worship, our worship at home here at Bethel Church from Lacombe, Alberta. We are glad that you are worshiping with us today, whether it is morning, afternoon, or evening, whenever you decided to worship. It doesn't really matter what time of the day we worship. Just coming together to worship is a joy and a pleasure and a privilege. Today we're going to be looking at persecution. We're going to be looking at opportunities where it is hard to worship. So we are thankful. We are a church that follows Jesus. We love each other. We love serving our community. And we're learning more and more how to share our faith and talk about who Jesus is. Settle in. We will begin worship with a prayer. So let's pray. Dear God, we come to worship you today. We come to sing and pray and listen. You always hear us. Help us to hear you. Amen. And we now will come to a call to worship based on Psalm 91 and Romans 10. And Adam will be joining us in terms of doing the litany. So let us worship God.
He is our refuge and our fortress, our God in whom we trust. Let us confess with our mouths Jesus is Lord.
And believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead.
Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved.
Let us call upon our true God, believing him in our hearts, confessing him with our mouths, and worshiping him in spirit and in truth. And we have this call to worship, and we are here in God's house, but wherever we are, because all of creation belongs to God, we're in God's house. And wherever we are, two or three, or even if you're worshiping alone, God is there. And he says, welcome. And we use biblical words. May grace, may mercy, and may peace be yours today and always from God our Father and Jesus the Christ, to the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit, now and always. Amen. And just take a moment to greet whoever you're worshiping with. So, good morning. And good nice morning, to see you in the back as well. And as we go through worship, we take a time to say, God, we want to make things right with you. And we can't make things right. We rely on God's grace, on his mercy. We rely on the work of Jesus Christ. But there is still something healthy in our relationship. When we come and we say, you know, we have messed up. So we've come to a time where we are going to go through a litany of confession and assurance. Wondrous God, who sets suns and moons above us, mountains and valleys beneath us, and friends and strangers among us, how often have we tried to hide from your presence? How seldom have we looked for your creating face and your fashioning hand?
Lord, have mercy upon us.
Wondrous God, who took upon yourself flesh of our flesh in Jesus our brother, and being found in human form, made the ultimate disclosure of yourself in the face of Jesus Christ. How often we have forgotten you. How seldom have we really loved and followed you.
Christ, have mercy upon us.
O wondrous God, who pours out freely the Holy Spirit, how often have we ignored your promptings? How seldom have we asked for your help or accepted your gifts?
Lord, have mercy upon us. Amen.
And here are words that you may trust, words that merit full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. To all who confess their sins and resolve to live a new life, he says, your sins are forgiven. He also says, follow me.
Now to the one who rules all worlds, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever.
And our response is a response where we turn to God and say, how do you want us to live? You have done so much for us. You have never given up on us. Jesus took all our sin on himself to the cross. He died and was raised again from the dead as a sign that we are forgiven. So out of gratitude, we turn to God and ask, how would you have us live? So we turn to Colossians chapter 3 this morning. As a chosen of God then, the holy people whom he loves, you are to be clothed in heartfelt compassion, in generosity and humility, gentleness and patience. Bear with one another. Forgive each other if one of you has a complaint against another. The Lord has forgiven you. Now you must do the same. Over all these clothes, put on love, the perfect bond. And may the peace of Christ reign in your hearts, because it is for this that you were called together in one body. Always be thankful. And these are words that have always struck me, that this, so much of this is about our character, about who we are deep in our hearts and souls. And this is also God's character. So as we embrace this call, this God's law, what we are asking is for God's character to shape our character. And God says, stay in touch with me. You know, don't drift away. And one of the ways we stay in touch is through prayer. And we take time to lift up prayers from our congregation, from our community. And we say, God, you know, hear our needs. But we also take time to praise him. So let's come to our God in prayer. We'll be praying for different members of Bethel congregation. And we'll also just be taking a time of silence to lift up any needs that you might have to pray to the Lord as well. So let's pray. Oh, Lord God, thank you for making us part of your family and for giving us our own families as well, especially this church family of Bethel. Help us to love each other as you love us. You love us in a completely wholehearted, unconditional way. Lord, when we sin, you can't stand it. But that's why you sent your Son, so that our sin could be washed away, our sin could be paid for, so that we could be right with you. And we ask you to keep us safe and healthy. Help us to enjoy being with each other. Help us to live out love with each other, love and grace and mercy and forgiveness, as we read in your law. We thank you for giving us all kinds of teachers to teach us who you are, to teach us about your world, about your creation, to teach us about things like how to live well and wisely. And Lord, some of us learn well with our minds, and others work well and learn well with our hands. We thank you for all those, our parents and our grandparents who passed their skills and their history and their talents and their faith, their love down to us. We thank you for Sunday school teachers and for school teachers who teach us wisdom, who give us knowledge. And Lord, we thank you for the knowledge of our minds, but also the knowledge of our hands. We thank you for GEMS counselors and cadet counselors, for youth leaders, for Bible study leaders, for elders and deacons, and for ministers who all take time to teach and to model and to show how we're to live, and how we're to live out of not only love, but also to live in such a way that we build strong community, we build strong relationships, that that we stand up for those who are weak and oppressed, that we create healthy communities. And Lord, there are so many others who teach us, friends and neighbors and others as well. And we thank you for all these people in our lives. Lord, make them excited about what they teach and make us all excited about learning more about you and the world around us. And Lord, we can't even think of all the people who help us every day. We ask that you lead our prime minister and our premier and government leaders to make good decisions. We think locally of our mayor and council. Please keep our firefighters and police officers and all other people who work to keep our city safe. And Lord, we pray for our doctors and for our nurses. We pray for all the people who are working in the different shops and that who serve us and who help our lives to be so much better and so much easier. And Lord, we thank you for all the work that they do. We ask that you keep them safe as well. Thank you for these and other strong people who take care of us. We also pray for those who need help, for everyone who is sick or scared. We know that you heal better than any doctor on earth, and we ask you to give your strength to everyone who's suffering. We think of Millie's granddaughter, Alicia, who is suffering from a large kidney stone, but also suffers from a disease that creates an oxygen deficiency. And Lord, the doctors are trying to figure out how to help her. We pray for Jordan and Amy as they're expecting their baby in August. We pray that you continue to shape and form this child and Amy and that the baby may be born healthy and strong. We pray for Joan and for Gerald and Henry as they continue to recover at home. We pray for Darren, who went into the hospital in Edmonton this past week after an accident. And we pray for healing for him as well. And Lord, there are so many others who have needs. There are those who are poor, those who live in scary situations, those who have so many other things going on. And some may be in our own family, some may be neighbors. So we take a moment in silence to lift up those people that we know by name and place their cares and their needs in your hands. We also ask you to bless each of us. You're the great shepherd who loves us. Help us to know and trust that you will always give us everything we need. And help us to be happy and content with what we have. Continue to watch over us and teach us to live for you all of the time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We're going to be looking at Psalm 137 this morning, and it's a psalm that many of you may have learned if you are a little bit older. Probably learned it through a song by Boney M. Called "By the Rivers of Babylon," and it's a song about weeping. It's a song about crying because people are far from home. So, all of you children out there, do you know what it means to be persecuted? And maybe turn to your moms or your dads or your grandmas and your grandpas and talk a little bit about what it means to be persecuted. You can just pause it right now if you want for a sec. Here, I'll tell you kind of what a definition that I've always used for persecution. And it kind of comes from people that I met when I was living in Montreal in the first church that I was a senior pastor. So they describe being persecuted as being teased, being bullied, being harassed, or being treated really poorly and meanly because of what you believe. And for the people in the church there, they were persecuted because they believed in Jesus Christ. And at some point, Jesus says, you know what? you may be persecuted as well. Jesus even said, blessed are those who are persecuted for my name's sake. And you think, wow, I don't know. Do I really want to get persecuted? Do I want to be bullied or teased? You know, some people in other parts of the world, they actually get put in prison because they believe in Jesus. Do I want to go to prison someday? But Jesus said, you're blessed. Now, blessed is kind of this biblical word that means that God will be with us, that God will provide what we need during that time. And it's amazing, as I talk with the people who were being persecuted, some of them actually having to run away from their home and come to Canada in a completely different part of the world, they said when they were persecuted, and they still said Jesus is Lord, other people who didn't believe in Jesus saw them and said, you really believe this. This is really important for you. So there must be something about who Jesus is, and I want to learn more about who Jesus is too. And we find that in the Bible as well, that often when people are persecuted, God's people are persecuted, it's amazing how the people who do the persecution, some of them said, you know, who is Jesus? Who is your God? I want to know more about them too. So God can even use persecution to make his kingdom bigger, but it also makes us stronger. And it reminds us that Jesus suffered for us as well. And when we suffer for Jesus, Jesus says, I went through it all, and I will give you the strength that you need too. So what are some of the things you might be persecuted for today? Not persecuted like the people in other countries, but maybe you get teased or bullied because, maybe you pray before lunch at school and other kids say, oh, that's kind of silly. Or maybe you pray at McDonald's or at a restaurant. Maybe you're playing with the new kid or the weird kid at recess. And, you know, some of your friends say, oh, what are you doing that for? Or maybe you're telling the truth when something went wrong. And then your friends who were with you, they get in trouble too. And then they don't want anything to do with you. Or, you know, maybe you're reading your Bible in a restaurant or you're reading it at lunchtime and some of your friends are saying, oh, you know, don't be so silly. Let's go play instead. That's a lot more fun. We get teased and we can get persecuted and harassed in lots of different ways. But when we get persecuted or harassed because we follow Jesus, and Jesus said, you are blessed. I will be with you and I will show you my love. So let's pray, and then we're going to read Psalm 137. Lord, some of us have been persecuted. Others may be persecuted. Lord, but we pray that when we are persecuted, that we may stay strong. We may continue to love you and continue to tell other people that we love you as well. So, Lord, bless all those who are being persecuted in the world. Protect them, keep them safe. And Lord, may their love of you show others how who you are as our God and how much you love us as well. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Psalm 137 is a beautiful psalm because in the psalm, we know that God is with us even when we're mourning. So here's how the person who wrote the psalm, how he wrote it. He said, by the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. There on the poplars, we hung our harps. For there our captors asked us for songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. They said, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How can we sing the songs of the Lord while in a foreign land? If I forget you, Jerusalem, may my right hand forget its skill. May my tongue cling to the roof of my mouth if I do not remember you, if I do not consider Jerusalem my highest joy. Remember, Lord, what the Edomites did on the day Jerusalem fell. Tear it down, they cried. Tear it down to its foundations. Daughter Babylon, doomed to destruction, happy is the one who repays you according to what you have done to us. Happy is the one who seizes your infants and dashes them against the rocks. The word of the Lord. Lord, thank you for this time to worship you and to praise you. Lord, thank you for the prayers we're able to offer you, for the words of Scripture that we're able to read and to hear. And Lord, we pray that our time of worship may sink deep into our hearts and souls and minds to shape us and form us more and more into who you're calling us to be. And I pray that the words which will be spoken, may they be your words and not mine. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The Psalms are the songs of Israel for the people and for God. And they come from the heart, and they come from the heart during good times and through really hard times. This is one of the Psalms that comes during a really hard time. And that's why the Psalms are so important, because they give us words to say that sometimes we just can't find the words ourselves to say what's on our hearts, what's on our soul, to say what's hurting us or making us worry or making us afraid. So we turn to the Psalms to express what's on our hearts and souls. Now, this is a really hard psalm. You know, most of us kind of know the first verses and everything else, but those last verses are really, really hard. And I had to go back to all my relationships with people who came from other countries because they were being persecuted to understand, you know, where this psalm comes from and why this psalm ends in such a dark, dark place. So when we read Psalm 137, it's important to ask ourselves, you know, what happened here to cause them such pain, to create such a deep desire for vengeance? And we go back into the history and of Israel, and we discover that, you know, the Babylonians came and they conquered Jerusalem, and they came with their massive army, and they knocked down the walls and they knocked down the temple, and they treated the people really hard. A lot of Israelites got murdered. A lot of people got abused and beaten and treated horribly. And then the Babylonians took the rich people, took the wealthy people. They took all the treasures from the palace and from the temple, and they took them all back to Babylon. And then they left a lot of the poor people behind. People who were farmers, who didn't have much of an education maybe, a lot of the beggars, and none of those people got taken. They were all left behind, and that's a whole story for another day. But now when you hear this psalm, it's a psalm of all those people who were taken into Babylon from Jerusalem, into a different country, sitting by the river of Babylon. And now their hearts are aching. Their hearts are hurting. Many of them have lost family members. Many of them have been separated from family, even if they were taken from together as a family. That's what the Babylonians were good about. They were good at separating the people so they couldn't get together and fight back. And now they're sitting by the rivers of Babylon. And they're not sitting by the streams or the Jordan River of Israel. They're sitting by a foreign river. And now they're getting mocked. And now they're getting teased. The Babylonians are going, "Hey, we heard so much about all your great songs to your God. And you know what? Sing some of your songs of Zion, your songs of joy and celebration. And sing them to our God, because our God beat your God. Your God is so weak that couldn't even protect you. So sing your songs of joy." And the Jewish people, their hearts are aching. And they're saying, "How can we sing these songs? How can we experience joy?" And they weep. They weep by the river. See, they're there because they had persecuted their own people. God had told them to take care of the orphans and the widows and the foreign people who lived there, to make sure that nobody was oppressed, that everybody could experience the blessings of living in the promised land. And a lot of times, they did only the bare minimum stuff to please God. And then they would go from the temple and they would really craftily steal from the poor and take from others. And they wouldn't take care of those who needed help. And now, because they had persecuted others, God is allowing the nation of Babylon to persecute them. Now, it's also important to remember that not all persecution comes as punishment. You know, like we heard in the children's message, a lot of persecution comes because we follow Jesus today. And part of the persecution here is because the people don't want to give up following God. And now they're being mocked for it. So is it unfair for God to punish us so harshly when we do something wrong? Because the people are being punished really harshly. So just maybe pause and talk about, you know, does this feel fair? Because we talk a lot about being fair, that, you know, if we're going to get punished, the punishment has to be fair. So is God being fair, do you think? Just take a moment. See, there's a lot of hard questions that come out of these stories, that come out of Israel's history, that come out of our own history. Sometimes we think, you know, God is so unfair. But what strikes me in this story, in this psalm, in Israel's history, is that when Israel gets punished, they realize that they can still turn back to God. That God never gives up on them. That a lot of times God's punishment is given to them so that they will come back to God. Because that's God's deepest desire, is that his people come back to him. That they change their lives and be the people that God has created them and called them to be. So they pour out their grief to God. By the rivers of Babylon, we sat and wept when we remembered Zion. They can't sit by the rivers of Israel. They can't sit by those mountain streams and by the Jordan River and sing their songs of praise and joy. See, they say, you know, we hang our harps on the poplars. We can't play the music of Zion right now. You know, there our captors asked for our songs. Our tormentors demanded songs of joy. But our tears are flowing and our throats are tight with grief. And we can't even sing those songs right now. And yet even in their grief, the people of Israel know that they can turn to God. They know that God cares that much for them. He's always ready to welcome us back, just like in the parable that Jesus tells of the prodigal son. In fact, the Father even grieves with us, his children, when we do wrong. And his tears are meant to draw us back as well. And he reassures us that he is there. The prophet Ezekiel gives us this beautiful picture of how God goes with his people into exile. And then the glory of the Lord departed from over the threshold of the temple and stopped above the cherubim. These were angels that were above the temple. And while I watched, the cherubim spread their wings and rose from the ground. And as they went, the wheels went with them. This is one of these really strange images that's in Ezekiel. And they stopped at the entrance of the east gate of the Lord's house. And the glory of the God of Israel was above them. Then the cherubim with the wheels beside them spread their wings, and the glory of God of Israel was above them. And the glory of the Lord went up from within the city and stopped above the mountain east of it. And the Spirit lifted me up and brought me to the exiles in Babylonia in the vision given by the Spirit of God. When Solomon built the temple, God came into the temple as a cloud to show that was his house, that was his home here on earth in Israel. And now God, in this vision of Ezekiel, leaves the temple because God's people aren't there. They've gone into exile, and God goes into exile with them. That's just a sign, a picture showing that we are never alone, that God goes into the deepest, darkest, hardest times of our lives, and he goes with us there, that he is with us. You know, these are themes and situations that we in North America honestly find it hard to relate to. We don't really understand exile, the deep loss that comes from violence, at least for the most part, or the feelings of hopelessness and grief expressed in this psalm. In Montreal, we had members of the church there who came from Pakistan and who came from the Democratic Republic of the Congo, and they shared some of the stories of the violence and the persecution that they experienced there. See, most of them left family behind. And a lot of those family members continued to experience persecution and violence and horrible things. They carried soul and heart scars that were only made deeper and more painful every time they heard news from family back home. Family who were unable to leave, to come to a safe country. Some of it's because our own immigration system, you know, needs some work in that as well. And I remember sitting with them and seeing their tears. I heard stories I can't share here because of how disturbing they are. Just because they're Christians, it's the only reason they were persecuted. As a church, we supported a Congolese pastor's sister who had been abused so badly she needed a whole series of surgeries to get better again. And then she had an opportunity to come to Canada, and she said, "No, I'm staying there. I know that Jesus is with me, and I know that Jesus wants me to walk alongside other women who've gone through what I've gone through, to give them hope, to let them know that Jesus never gives up on them, that Jesus is with them, and that they can be blessed in their persecution because of how much Jesus loves them." She said how much she's grateful for Jesus. As a church, you know, we began talking with our local member of parliament. We started talking with Immigration Canada and saying, you know, there's got to be a better way. We've got to let the world know about these stories. We can't just not do anything. And we spend a lot of time praying as a church for those families. And we got to know the Congolese community better, to see how we could offer support and encouragement and help them get their stories out into the public. See, those who live where there's real persecution, they understand this psalm's cry for justice. We hear these verses, and many of us don't quite understand the deep cry for vengeance. Though I've walked with people who have been abused even here in Canada and who understand, because, you know, even our own justice system doesn't always work. We are flawed human beings, and that's part of living in this world. But most of us don't understand the hurt, the brokenness, the need for justice so that we can begin to find some healing, some hope. And that's right now why in North America we're in this serious conversation about, you know, race and racism and all these other things. This is why we have members of our church family who stand up for right to life because of the violence that happens in abortion and that, and the pain that so many of those mothers and families feel afterwards. And I've talked to people who said, why wasn't I told more about what would happen? These are heart cries to God. Remember, Lord, don't let them get away with what they've done against us. You know, happy is the one who repays you, Babylon, according to what you've done for us. And the anger and the pain that comes out of their hearts. Happy is the one who dashed them against the rocks. You know, it's easy for us to remind people, you know what? A vengeance is mine, says the Lord. But when you sit down with them and you hear the horrific stories and experiences they've lived through, you start to get an understanding of where this verse is coming from. And God wants to hear our cries because God is a God of justice. He wants rightness. He wants righteousness, justice to be part of this world and how this world operates. So for many of those members in Montreal and others I have known across Canada, knowing that God is a God of justice actually filled them with a lot of hope. So how does, again, a question is kind of slow down and pause and maybe talk about, does knowing God is a God of justice give you hope? And in what way? How does knowing God is a God of justice give you hope? So just take a couple moments. I remember studying this psalm in a Bible study, and somebody said, you know, this is all fine and good that we read this psalm, but how does this psalm fit us today? How does it work for us? And I remember as we talked, you know, somebody said, it reminds us that we're part of a worldwide church where many of our brothers and sisters are experiencing violence and persecution even today. Even right at this moment, that we're worshiping God in safety and hope and comfort and peace, there are those around the world who are worshiping in secret, who are worshiping afraid that they'll be caught, but trusting God so much and loving God and Jesus so much that they can't help but worship, knowing that it may even cost them their lives. So Karina Kreminsky suggests that there are a number of ways that Psalm 137 is really important for us. She says the first response is to reject sentimentality. And you're going, what? Well, you know, it's like watching these commercials on TV for all these kids who are going hungry and who are homeless and everything else. And if we give a few dollars, they can be helped and everything else. And you know what? We get a little bit uncomfortable, but we feel bad for them. But then it's easier just to turn the channel. So she's saying, don't turn the channel in your head. Don't turn the channel in your heart. Feel the pain. You know, feel the hurt. Let the Holy Spirit work inside of you. You know, this is signs that the world's not the way it's supposed to be. And we're called to make a difference in this world. Allow the uncomfortableness of this psalm. You know, sit in your heart. Ask God how to pray and support our persecuted brothers and sisters around the world. And then the second response is to be a wise one. on the edge of the outside. And I had to think about that one. And I realized as I read more of her study of this psalm that she's saying, you know what, we have to be aware of the violence, of the persecution, of the injustice, of the oppression that happens right within our own communities and our own country as well. We can't just speak to other parts of the world without acknowledging that, you know what, stuff happens here as well that we need to be aware of. And we need to be critics. And critics not in just pointing out what's wrong, but critiquing. Saying, you know what, these are areas where we do not live well with each other, where there is injustice and oppression. And these are ways that we can become healthier together. These are ways that we can grow as a people. We need to be able to confess our own sin and the sin around us, to tell of Jesus who calls us back to God and teaches us the way to walk in this world and be who Jesus calls us to be. And Jesus is fully God and fully human, so he understands, you know, what this world is like. And he takes our sin and he takes our brokenness to the cross. And he takes it into the grave and he rises up to establish a kingdom of justice and righteousness, a kingdom of peace and forgiveness, of grace and possibility. And Jesus then gives us his Spirit to equip us to live out his values, his kingdom, to grow it and to call others to follow him with us. And then that's that whole alternative version of the new creation that we need to speak out to say, you know what? The world's not the way it's supposed to be, but here's who God, here's what Jesus calls this world to be like. You know, we have to be able to articulate, you know, that Jesus calls for us to live well with each other. He calls us to be filled with grace and forgiveness and mercy and all that. That is really important, especially in our personal relationships. But Jesus also calls us to be critics of what's wrong. So he went to the religious leaders and he said, you know what? You do all the religious stuff, but you still allow oppression. You still allow widows, and you don't take care of them. You don't take care of the orphans. You don't take care of the foreigners. You just care about yourself. So Jesus gives us a whole alternate kingdom, and he gives us these beautiful pictures of what his kingdom's all about. I encourage you, read the Gospels. And there's some beautiful glimpses at the end of Revelation as well of what God's kingdom is like. And then lastly, Karina calls us to be a voice for the marginalized and the weak, to be willing to take risks, to speak up for the oppressed and those exposed to violence and persecution. This is prophet language, and we are called to be prophets. This is Jesus language of loving our neighbors as ourselves, of sitting by the rivers to weep with them and listen to their stories. But Jesus said, this is also going to be normal. In Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. You know, as we work for righteousness and justice, you know, God gives us the strength and the wisdom through the Holy Spirit to know how to move forward, to take steps one by one. But there is also that blessing and warning, blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You see, when we're persecuted because we follow Jesus, that means we're being persecuted because we're calling the world to live as Jesus calls us to live. And we're not ashamed. And we work to create that world around us, starting right here in our own community. But we do look ahead as well to the day when we can sit on the banks of the river of God, singing his songs with all our brothers and sisters in the faith. We can sit there in peace. We can sit there in the shade of the trees of life, in the presence of God. We need to grow our imagination, however, of who the church is, and remember that we're part of a much larger church than what we experience here in Lacombe. We are part of a church that is all over the world, a church that often worships in safety and peace, but we can't forget our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted, who are even losing their lives because they follow Jesus. And we need to pray that the Holy Spirit will keep them strong and that their witness may help others to come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior as well. So we need to keep them in our prayers. Psalm 137, even today is powerful. And it speaks to the way the world so often is. So, this is a call to remember. Call to remember our brothers and sisters and to keep them in our prayers. But then also to work for justice and for wholeness and for healing and health wherever we are as well. Amen. Lord, thank you for these psalms that take us out of our comfortable places and open our eyes to the reality of so much of what the world is like. To know that we too may face persecution, but that we will be blessed because you are with us in both the good and in the hard times. But in the hard times, when you keep us strong, we become a powerful witness to you. So Lord, bless our brothers and sisters who are in the middle of persecution. Give them the strength and the words to continue to confess that Jesus is our Lord and Savior. And Lord, may their words resonate in the hearts of many, even among those that persecute them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have an opportunity to partner with many organizations, and one of the organizations we partner with is Reframe Media, and it used to be called the Back to God Hour International. And what they do is they use social media to spread the word of Jesus into all countries of the world. And many of those who are part of the persecuted church have come to faith because of Reframe Media. So this is who we are giving our offerings to today. So let's pray. Lord, we thank you for those who had a vision for preaching your word around the world and using the technology and the gifts of the social media to be able to speak into lives of people we may never know or even meet, but people who in secret are still able to learn more about you, to hear of who Jesus Christ is, who their Savior is. And Lord, how Reframe Media is a source of strength and hope. So Lord, we pray that our offerings may help Reframe Media to spread God's word, your word around the world, and to strengthen those who are in the middle of persecution. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand for God's parting blessing. So go out into the world in peace, and in Christ's name, be the humble who make others proud, the poor who have riches to share, the weak who help others be strong, the empty who overflow with loving kindness, the generosity of the love of God, the treasure of the grace of Christ Jesus, and the buoyant health of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen. May the Lord be with you this week.